Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject on man. We are very grateful you could join us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all. And Florence will lead with our morning prayer.
This is from Addenda to Collectania, page 14, and a line from 15. If the heart stays young, old age can never become anything but ennobled thereby. Years do not make one grow old if one grows in grace. Decay does not belong to matter so much as to mind. We do not lose our faculties through matter so much as through mind doing. Now, my thought is, if we kept our mind fixed on God, life, truth, and love, He will advance us in our years to a higher understanding and change our hope into faith, and our faith into spiritual understanding, and our words into works, and our ultimate faith into the fruition of entering into the kingdom. Trust to His care. Make faith in Him your staff. It will not bend. Mary B. Kennedy.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. All right, Karen, the watching point.
Watch number 468. Watch that you realize that mortal mind is fundamentally pessimistic. If one does not know this, he may personalize this pessimism and believe that when he feels it, it is his own. The antidote is to affirm God's rule that all things are working together for good to them that love God. A sick man is the victim of the pessimism of the carnal mind. He may know of others who have been healed by Christian Science, yet he is haunted by the suggestion that perhaps he will be one who is not. If on Wednesday he could gain the positive assurance that next Monday morning he would awaken healed, he would find himself healed the very next morning. At times we need to declare that it is high time that we open our dull eyes to see that we are the top dog instead of being the underdog. As a son of God, we are the boss, and mortal mind and its pessimism is ruled out.
Thank you. Okay. We'd like to speak to that.
Well, if we wake up every morning like we're told to do here, that we have the mind of God and that is our mind, and have that be our mind operating as our mind all day, then we can't have a negative thought or think that there's more power in evil and that's running the show rather than God. And so anyway, it's helped me so much, even when I'm in the middle of something that may not feel so good, to just know that it's good operating and not evil. There is no evil in the mind of God. And it's helped me so much to just know that God, good, is the only thing operating.
Thank you.
And it really gets down to how do we identify ourselves, right? Isn't there an article called Proper Identification or something like that?
Oh, anyway, it's all over. I don't know about, but you're right. We have identification that we read about.
Yeah, the tendency is to identify ourselves by mortal characteristics, right? I'm this, I'm that, I'm such and such, you know, and everybody else is this way or that way. Rather than identifying ourselves as the image and likeness of the one perfect God. And if we identify ourselves as the image and likeness of the one perfect God, and and keep that. And that's obviously quite challenging, at least for me. That we're not going to, we're not going to be subject to the mortal beliefs so much.
Lawrence?
No, I think because of how we've been educated, we've all been educated for so long to just lean, believe in the lies that come. It's interesting and very, it's a blessing really to know that you can wake up and declare that you will have no other mind, like Mrs. Eddy says she does, or she used to do. Wake up every morning and declare, I will have no other mind but the divine mind, and stick with this throughout the day. It's wonderful, because otherwise we don't know it and we fall for all the lies that come. And this is great, because now knowing this, that good is what is ours, every time your thought goes to the negative, we know we are fallen. We are being swayed by something that is not of God. And it's really helpful, I think, to, we don't lean towards the pessimism of the carnal mind, but to stay with the one mind, the divine mind, which is the only mind. And especially if we're loyal to the fact that God is all, then only good can be all. Only the right mind can be all that is.
Thank you.
Yeah, and sometimes it seems like we wear it like a badge. Oh, I've always been this. I've always been that.
Yeah.
And all of those false qualities are, we've never been them, really.
Yes, thank you. That's your human personality, the old man that has to be cast off. Yeah. And I do know when I'm getting negative about anything, it's a flag. I'm in the wrong mind. And rouse yourself to get back into the right mind. It's just to know that other so-called mind has no power. It has no influence. It's just suggestion that you're listening to. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ways it's done is to something happens and you predict the worst scenario. I've heard it many times. I've done it myself, certainly, but, some maybe minor thing, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen. And it's like a runaway horse. And you've got to catch it there early and no. Your expectation is from the Lord, and only good is going on, and only good can happen. But don't let that so-called pessimistic thoughts go like a runaway horse.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that all our what ifs were negative. What if this? What if that? What if that? Why not what if good? On the other side.
Right.
Yeah, and the Bible assures us that there's no variableness in God. Yes. So there are no what ifs.
And I think that's what she means when she says, you are the boss. You are the boss of your own thinking, of what you accept or not accept. You're not the boss of some other people necessarily.
But it's that's so why we're told to stay away. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Florence.
It takes so long to to feel like you're the boss, because most of the time it's always, I don't know, is that little I with this little timid me, all of that first, until we grow into, the confidence of knowing that we are the sons of God, therefore we've been given dominion over all these things, all these negatives that come.
Hello.
Go ahead.
It comes.
Go ahead.
Ingrid?
Thank you. It comes to me that, one of the most beautiful lines I've seen by Mary Baker Eddy about Christian Science, and says, you have it as you live it. And I think this is one of the hardest points, is to see perfection and, of course, see it at all time in everyone. Because it's really, as we practice it, as Christian Science is so great about, always about the practice, it's about the practice. And, you know, do we see it, when we see a sick person, do we really, are we really seeing the perfect individual? When we see a houseless person on the street, all bump, or a drug person, are we really seeing that perfect creation of God? I mean, that's when it really counts, you know? So that's what this conversation so wonderful is doing to me. Are we really practicing it?
Yeah, thank you. That's it. Bringing it home, making it yours. Was there someone else that wanted to speak?
Well, I was just going to say that it seems today that it's, with all that's going on in the world, it seems very hard sometimes to not be pessimistic, because we hear it from all sides, especially if one listens to the news, which I don't, but it does come at us from all directions right now. And so it would appear that there's, what is there to be hopeful about? Everything's just going to hell in a handbasket. But I'm so grateful that, like many have said, we have this science to get us out of that negative thought, which can be, you know, just take us with it and without, if we're not alert to what's happening. And so I'm very grateful that we're taught here that we do have a choice. We do have the choice to know that our mind is God. Well, we don't really have a choice, but we do have the mind of God. And that is what's going to get us out of this negativity, because it's no fun to be around somebody like that or to feel it ourselves. But the only way we're going to help is to be that around everybody that we're with.
Thank you. And the news is sometimes, usually, is an example of pessimism and negativity. And that's what they thrive on, because that's what they think will sell. So they look for the worst things that go on in the whole world and then throw them in front of you as if this is how the world is, when probably 95% of the world is not that way. But they'll cast it in front of you to get you mesmerized to believe that it is, maliciously or ignorantly, and probably ignorantly, but that kind of news sells. So that's why, yes, it's wise not to watch or be very careful what you take in. Otherwise, it can be, yeah, what's the use? That's just what Era would like, for us to give up. What's the use? Well, not at all. And only good is going on. That was one thing Mrs. Evans always said, no matter whatever was going on, only good is going on. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Therefore, whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is, it's going to work together for good if you put God in the middle of the situation.
And I like to think of the bad news, which is 100% of what you see or hear on television or whatever, is error coming to the surface to be destroyed. It's things that we need to know to handle. And we can rejoice that it is coming to the surface. It's being exposed to be destroyed. And that should be our attitude toward the news. Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, that's why science is the only answer to anything. Because without science, you wouldn't know how to treat what you see and hear on the, you know, on the news, on the internet, whatever.
Yeah, and it's so hard not to get that sinking feeling when you're watching the news or reading it or whatever. But when you can think of it as a bugle call, that it's your duty, because you know the truth, to know the truth and to know that all mankind cannot be afraid of these horrible things that we see and hear, and that we do know that God is ever present, and everyone does. And you got to just feel that so deeply inside. And it's so, I'm just so grateful to have to have that awareness. It's really a gift.
Yeah, thank you. And remember, you're watching the Adam dream, aren't you?
Yes.
It's the Adam dream. It's an illusion that wants to pull you into it. And that's where we must be. Yes, Stan Porter at the door of thought. I always think that, well, this is the Adam dream. It's not the truth about what's really going on. And do I want to become part of that dream, or am I going to wake up and wake others to the truth of their being? Okay. All right, Jeremy.
Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
So this is a beautiful lesson on faith and what an important topic it is. Because here we're hearing it, you can't please God if we don't have it. So a couple of you sent some definitions on the word faith. So Nancy, you want to give us what you sent to me?
Yes, from Webster's, faith, truth or confidence, a form cordial belief in the veracity of God, in all the declarations of his word, a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because he has declared them. And then in a Daily Source commentary, faith is believing all God has said in his word. Faith is accepting scriptural truth as a firm fact. Faith is having the assurance that what we hope for in Christ will certainly come to pass. Indeed, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Walking by faith means we are to rely completely on all that God has said in his word through the Holy Scriptures. And as we listen, follow his directions, and trust in the Lord with all our heart, we are to walk by faith and not by sight, nor are we to live by trusting in what we imagine or what we feel. The man or woman who lives by faith uses life's stumbling blocks as stepping stones. Faith allows obstacles to be changed into opportunities, and wounds that are inflicted become a witness to the generous grace he pours out into our lives in great abundance. When we live by faith, we maintain in fellowship with the Lord. In fellowship with the Lord, and can become healing balm and a godly comfort in the lives of others who are facing similar difficulties. So not only do we have faith, but we need to use this faith as an example to help others, which I really liked that.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can almost tell those in this world who have faith, because they usually have a very cheerful countenance, while those that don't always look worried and what's going to happen next. Yeah. So,
yes.
So be the cheerful countenance and have that faith. It's a beautiful definition. And this is what certainly we as Christian Scientists need and should be examples of. All right,
thank
Karen.
You.
Oh, go ahead.
Can I just say thank you for those definitions? And also, this is why unreal magnetism or animal magnetism is always against our faith, is always trying to rob our faith. So we got to keep an eye on that one, right?
Right. That's right. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Karen.
Well, I too looked up faith in Noah Webster's dictionary, and much of what Nancy said is... But I'll just say this one paragraph. Evangelical, justifying, or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance and dependence on his merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony
and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ for salvation. And he quotes two of the quotes from the lesson this week. He quotes in here, being without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. But I think that's pretty much, well, there's one. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in the veracity of God, in all the declarations of his word, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because he has declared them.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. You can ask yourself, do you have that faith? Many people, you know, battle with this because they don't have faith, or they feel they don't have faith. That's why we're talking about it today. In the lesson, in Science and Health, which is a statement I love, but on 387, the history of Christianity furnishes sublime proofs of the supporting influence and protecting power bestowed on man by his Heavenly Father, Omnipotent Mind, who gives man faith and understanding whereby to defend himself not only from temptation, but from bodily suffering.
Nice.
Your Heavenly Father, Omnipotent Mind, gives you faith. So if you don't have it, as Charles Stanley said, you better get yourself some. Get going. Get cracking. And part of that is acknowledging all the good he's done for you and not taking so much for granted. Yes. Gratitude is a huge, huge part in faith. And you've really got to think about what you're grateful for and acknowledge it, write it down, dwell on that, because again, the pessimistic mind does not. And it's right on the next problem. Or that was my just due, you know, so what if you know, I got that parking spot or whatever little thing God's done for you all day. Not so little, really. Be so grateful for everything. And not just for the thing, but for the giver of the thing. That, more than anything else, will increase your faith. Because here, Mrs. Eddy tells us, not only do we get faith, but we get understanding. Now, Christian Science is very different in that, what is blind faith?
Well, certainly not understanding.
Not faith in God.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Carrie had sent me an article about this. I forget the name of it now, but it gave the example of a little girl. If you tell a little girl 5 + 5 = 10, or a little boy, you know, they'll believe you. If you tell them 5 + 5 = 20, they'll believe that too, right? If they're just young and mm-hmm. they'll yeah. just accept it, whatever they're told. That is blind faith. That is not good, okay? That is not good. Your faith should be based on understanding, which God also gives you.
Yes.
The only way to get the understanding is to be living the faith, being grateful for the faith, acknowledging God's presence and power with you. Yes, be grateful for the faith. Be grateful even if you have faith, a little tiny mustard seed, right?
Yeah.
And that can grow into a big bush or tree, big tree. Our Sunday school teachers were planting mustard seeds for the children.
Planting seeds.
So what are you anxious about saying?
Well, I think, you know, when I first read this lesson, I wondered, well, it wasn't clear to me what a lesson on faith had to do with the subject man. But as the week went on, I realized that having faith is just like and very similar and part of using your spiritual sense. And your spiritual sense will tell you what you should or should not have faith in. And this is how we should live our lives. And Mrs. Eddy makes it very clear that, you know, man is not material sense. Man is spiritual. So this really gets to the heart of what we really are, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Blind faith is faith without using your spiritual sense. But faith in God's word will always lead you aright because your spiritual sense will tell you that it's right.
Thank you.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, I'm impressed by to what extent Christ Jesus loved faith.
Yes.
In many of his healings, you hear him ask, "Do you think I can do this?" I mean, it means faith means a lot to him. It meant a lot to him. So,
thank you for bringing that out. That's so important. You see it in The Chosen all the time, almost every healing, over and over and over.
Your faith hath made you whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the faith of the centurion servant, you know how much that meant to him? He didn't even have to come and be with his son. He had total faith. If you have all these doubts, your doubt can block the truth shining forth. And this, I think, is especially true as you grow in science. It might be initially you can have these healings, but as you grow in science, there's a demand that you do grow. And if you've been in science, I mean, I hear it all the time. I mean, I'm 20 years in science or 40 years or 50 years. I'm class taught. I've done them this, I'm that. And I still don't have any healings. you can ask, well, where is your faith? They can do all those things and still not have any faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw in a definition about pleasing God, it said that he didn't want empty actions or rituals. It was like being, like we have in the lesson, it says to be more alive to his promises. It's like a sense of aliveness with your...
Thank you. Thank you. And in the lesson again, because I have heard people say too, I've had healings of various things, but I've never had a physical healing. Well, so Mrs. Eddy says, if we are Christians on all moral questions, but are in darkness as to the physical exemption, which Christianity includes, then we must have more faith in God on this subject and be more alive to his promises. So if that is your situation, that you know you're having this physical problem that you can't seem to overcome, she's telling you what you have to do. And it's not just some, you know, oh yeah, that I know I have to do it, blah, blah, blah. No. Think about what she's saying and work on those things. More faith in God on this subject. We actually do have physical exemption. And be a more alive to his promises. Alive, wake up. You'll get there.
Rousy.
Yep, rousy. Face the foe.
And demand the blessing. That's part of it. Be the boss.
Yes.
To your own situation.
This is why, you know, we've been given pages 390 to 393 in Science and Health to work with always, because those are the command statements. Honey Bunch, you're the boss when you read those pages.
Yeah.
You're not just lying down and taking it, okay? You're the boss, and you're doing what you should do. Dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. Suffer no claim of sin or sickness to grow upon the thought. Rise in the conscious strength of the spirit of truth to overthrow the plea of mortal mind. Banish the belief that you can possibly entertain a single intruding pain which cannot be ruled out by the might of mind.
That should be capital mind.
I mean, powerful.
Powerful, yes. So get on that offensive side and sock it to him. What was that TV show? That anyway, what? Laugh in. Okay. Yeah. I'll get on the offensive with this. And in an article called Confidence, which I believe Jacob years ago sent to us, Jacob in Costa Rica, confidence is a lot like faith. And it says, confidence is a quality of mind, a quality of God. Since confidence is God-given, as is faith, the statement, I lack confidence or faith, is false. Mm-hmm. The person who is declaring the lack of confidence or faith to succeed is very confident of his ability to fail. So you're confident in something. And a lot of what we're talking about here is our, we always goes back to the first commandment, doesn't it? Our loyalty to God.
Yes.
Having no other gods before him. Are you going to be loyal to God? Are you going to listen to his voice? Are you going to believe that there's a power apart from God called the devil, evil, that's just got you in despair and wrestling with you and giving you a hard time? Is that what you're going to believe? I hope not. Mm. I trust not. You're wrestling years of servitude to an unreal master, Mrs. Eddy says. That's what her heart went out to all of us who do that. Serving this unreal master that likes to boss us around. We're not victims. Never the victim, always what?
The victim.
Now, I've mentioned this before, but it's a very important small little chapter in retrospection, introspection, faith cure, which goes back to what we were talking about a little bit ago. But Mrs. Eddy says, it is often asked, why are faith cures sometimes more speedy than some of the cures wrought through Christian scientists? Because faith is belief and not understanding, and it is easier to believe than to understand spiritual truth. It demands less cross-bearing, self-renunciation, and divine science to admit the claims of the corporeal sense and appeal to God for relief through a humanized conception of his power, than to deny these claims and learn the divine way, drinking Jesus's cup, being baptized with his baptism, gaining the end through persecution and purity. Those healings are going on. You have to have the eyes to see them. And if you're not having them, and if anyone's not having them, it is because of this. It demands those things, cross-bearing, self-renunciation, following the Christ. And that's what Christian Science demands. And that's why it is a full-time occupation, so to speak.
A lot of those early workers had to do that. They were persecuted, and
they
had to leave their churches that were not,
yes,
following this understanding of the Christ.
Yes, and I nobody wants to hear any of that. I certainly didn't at one point, but in retrospection now, I can see the good that these trials have given us. I mean, the law case, which lasted for years and years, that was a form of persecution. That was one of the greatest things that could ever have happened. We got us to be independent. It gave us this church. It gave us all this wonderful, quote, authorized literature, unquote.
And the best thing is, it pushed us closer to God.
Yeah,
it more reliant upon God.
And for those really appreciate what is here in this church, we should be grateful for those who went through it.
Yes.
Because I'm sure it was not.
Who else was speaking? Thank you, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, without the crucifixion, you can never have the resurrection.
Yes.
So at the time, it seems horrible. But like you said, Mary, in retrospection, it was great.
It's great. I know. And did my faith increase during all the time? Most definitely it did.
Yeah.
A huge amount. Before then, I was this, you know, just scared little thing and yeah, had no faith. After you've been through all those experiences with God and you come out on top of it, yes, you've got faith.
So most of those testimonies we read from the past, they talk about that they understand God better. They understand the Bible better.
Yes.
They change their ways. Almost all of them have changed their way. Some sin that they were believing true about themselves, and they changed. So there's a lot going on in those testimonies, not just physical healings.
Yes, and that's true in science. When you have a healing, it's your whole being. Everything about you is casting off the old man for the new. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's not just that your boo-boo is solved. Florence, were you speaking?
No, I was going to say, you know, when I look at like Kimball's story, how he became a Christian Scientist, maybe probably Bicknell Young and all, some of these, the older ones who wrote about how their journey to becoming whatever they became, you know, they've all went through so much. And that's where the confidence comes, and your faith, understanding, it all increases during that journey of the painful experiences that, you know, most of them had. So, you know, it's your confidence, you know, how else are you going to have it until you've gone through something? So
thank God they left that record, because too often I think people are quick to believe that, you know, it's just special people that can get ahead in science, and not the every man, but that's not the case at all.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So with faith comes understanding, most definitely. And with the understanding then comes demonstration, right? You prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand it. You prove it. Another important part of it is expectancy. I remember when I first became part of this church, that was one of the things Mrs. Evans told me. I wasn't expecting healing because I had a lot of, well, not a lot, but I had a few practitioners, but wasn't really healed. She said I needed to, my expectancy in the Lord. Expect. You see, the pessimism wouldn't expect healing.
Yeah.
No.
And that's the human mind. You got to rouse yourself. Your expectancy is in God. It's not in anything else but God. And there again, that's your faith and expectancy in God. And another characteristic, and some of these I am getting from articles that Carrie sent, these ideas, but I'm speaking to them. Another one was on courage, the importance of courage. There was an article by Ella Hoag on that. And it said, she says, the courage is sometimes sought in the wrong direction. They considered physical courage, but the entire nature of true courage is always moral. And Mrs. Eddy says, immortal courage fills the human breast and lights the living way of life. That's in Miscellany. But I was thinking about this because I'd been watching some documentaries on the Civil War. You know, they're always discussing, oh, who was the greatest general and all of this sort of thing. And it was so evident in this that in watching the generals and what they did and how they did it, their courage on the moral side, which of course in the Civil War was the Yankee side, the Northern side, to end slavery. And those generals, and I'm talking about Grant in particular, his determination to end that war, that's what ended it. And you can debate over and over who was the best or who knew the ways of the war best or whatever, because a lot of people at that time and later, you know, Lee was revered in a way, not because he was on the right side, but, oh, he was such a gentleman and he such a quote-unquote Christian. Go ahead, Florence.
No, from what in the family to his family.
Yes, his family had all this credentials. He was indirectly related to Washington. And while Grant had actually failed just about everything in his life until he became a soldier and then a general. His story is very inspiring in a way, but he would not take no. He followed Lee. Lee wished he'd just leave me alone. But Grant just hightailed him everywhere, and he won. But he knew so firmly in his mind this was a moral cause. Mm-hmm. He lived it. He knew it. Go ahead, Florence and I. We both watched the same documentary. Go ahead.
I mean, it's really admirable to watch. Something was inside of him that just was making him go forward no matter what. That he was being driven, I felt during watching it. That something was in him was telling him, you've got to do what's right. And he persevered. It wasn't easy, not at all, but he just kept on going. It's really admirable, I feel.
Absolutely. It was so, so good. And that documentary is just called Grant. It is on Prime. But it was based on the book by Ron Chernow called Grant. And I'm so glad that he has risen now to the heights that he should be, because he was a tremendous, not just a general, but a tremendous man. And so it is with faith. Do you have the courage to go forward with your faith, to know that it is God's plan that you be well and not sick, to stand up and fight all those false suggestions and not just lie back in your bed and take it? It does require courage.
You have the courage to go through many failures until you find out why God had you here.
Yes. Thank you. Now, something very beautiful that Carrie sent, and we will send it with to Florence and also to Tony to put on the Mary Baker Eddy website. It's an article by Annie Knott. It was first, I think, in a magazine, maybe, The Woman's Era, New Orleans, Louisiana. And it's also in the 1910 issue of the Christian Science Journal. And it is called Mrs. Eddy, the Woman. And she goes into various things about Mrs. Eddy, that she knew about Mrs. Eddy because Annie Knott spent time with her. Today I'm going to read the one, I guess, on faith. But she talks about appearance, teachings, reaching out to the needy, insistence on order, her life of solitude, what she says about books. It's really a beautiful article. Anyway, the excerpt 7 on faith. The chief characteristic of Mrs. Eddy. In the Bible, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And Christ Jesus demanded a vital faith on the part of all who claim to be his followers. Faith in God and in the power of good may be said to be the chief characteristic of Mrs. Eddy's whole career. This faith has no relation to blind credulity, but instead springs from her clear recognition of the eternal spiritual law and order which were revealed in the so-called miracles of Jesus and his apostles, and again brought to light in the healing work of Christian Science, a faith which finds its fulfillment in the works that Jesus demanded as evidence of discipleship. Nor is this faith separated from love in Mrs. Eddy's character and life. Hers is indeed the charity, the love, of which St. Paul says, that it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. History offers no parallel to Mrs. Eddy's patience with detractors, and that definition is to take away from reputation or merit through envy and malice. Mrs. Eddy's patience with its detractors and also calumniators, which are those who accuse falsely. Save the example of the Master, who when he was reviled not again. No one connected with Christian Science publications is ever permitted to reply to an attack in any other way than that of Christian courtesy. So that was the little excerpt on faith from this. But it's quite beautiful. I'm not sure why I didn't know about it before now, but thank you, Carrie, for finding that. So, and we'll read a little bit of it each week till we're done. And I'm sure it'll be on our website as well. Now, one other very beautiful article sent by Carrie. This one on the graces. It's called The Gamut of Graces. If any of us have failed to grasp the full intent of the apostolic exhortation, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. As it occurs in the second epistle of Peter, first chapter, the reason may lie in the fact that our English translation does not scant justice to the original, thereby hiding in some measure its strength and beauty. The Greek word translated add means to collect for a chorus, its root being identical with our English word chorus. And it hints at once that the apostles' thought must have been the perfection of harmony obtainable from the full gamut of the Christian graces. So it's beautiful to think of that, and that the keynote is faith. And then it goes on from faith. But these are the beautiful graces that God gives us that we can use and entertain. The whole thing, it's a short article, but it's very beautiful and something I never thought of. And seven, that's the number of completeness. Seven is the number of a full chord, I guess. And so when we express all of these, we express our completeness in God. And again, all these wonderful things are God-given. You have them by divine right. If you don't seem to have them, it's because you haven't paid attention to it. You're not grateful for it. And we've been mistaught. We've been mistaught in so many ways. So that's why we have to do our studying, inquire in his temples.
And they're a natural part of you.
Yes, they are. A natural part of us. So, all right, well, we're going to end now with another article from Carrie about faith.
Written by Annie Knott, which appeared in March 1897, Christian Science Journal. She writes, quote, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Hebrew 11, verse 6. The genius of sacred history points us to the older time when God called Abraham out of the very service of idolatry in Chaldea, bade him forsake a like tradition of his forefathers and all his kindred, and go where this faint, glimmering sense of truth should unfold into a perfect understanding of the one God, one mind. So Abraham's was the faith that makes faithful, and which laid the foundation of all the power that ever existed in the Jewish nation. As the centuries roll on, we see most clearly that when faith in God dominated the thought of the people, prosperity followed. Where it was replaced by a belief in materiality, disaster came down upon the nation: famine, sickness, defeat, and exile. When at length the Christ appeared, the life of faith sprang up as never before, and the history of that time is written in victories over sin, sickness, and death, so splendid that the ages still stand awed by the mighty deeds done, and their explanation was sought and found in all that had been given by the prophets of old. Ritualism and dogma were swept aside. The sick were healed by the word of power. And it is hardly necessary to say that the entire Christian church unfolded into greatness from this vital element. We in Christian Science, who have taken into our hearts the Christ idea, see the dreary desert of mortal sense transformed into the garden of the Lord. But this is not all. For even yet, we but see through a glass darkly, and as we take each step in science, realize that it is in the strength of our glorious but unseen divine principle, God. So we walk by faith, not by sight, yet. Sometimes the waves dash over us, tribulations, distresses, and what holds us? Even the anchor of faith. And though the night may seem long, there are those before us through the ages singing their great songs of triumph. And their meaning we no longer guess blindly. We know the secret of their overcoming. It is ours, the ever-present Christ truth. What matter the babble voices of mortal belief and opinion? What avails the evidence of material sense? It is written in the Word and in our lives, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. End quote.
Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.